This week on The Chronicles, we will be reviewing the new Muslims of post-conquest Iran, Tradition, Memory and Conversion by Sarah Bowen Savant. This book focuses on conversion and how converts to a religion come to feel an attachment to it. The book tries to answer this question for Iran by focusing on the role of memory and its revision and erasure in the 9th to the 11th centuries. The book examines revisions to memory in a wide range of cases, from Iran's imperial and administrative heritage to the Prophet Muhammad's stalwart Persian companion, Salman al-Farsi, and to memory of Iranian scholars, soldiers, and rulers in the mid-7th century. We discussed this book with Hugh Kennedy, Professor of Arabic at SOAS University of London. He gave us his insight into how Islam was integrated into Iranian culture and the challenges they faced in this early period.
Professor Kennedy, thank you for joining us on The Chronicles. You know the author, Sarah. You've read her book, The New Muslims of Post-Conquest Iran. Was it an interesting book? What did you make of it?
This is an interesting book for a number of different reasons. And the first of it is that it deals with a really important issue, and that is the way in which Islam was assimilated into Iranian culture. Because, of course, Islam originates in Arabia. It originates amongst the Arabs, who are a people that the pre-Islamic Persians of the Sasanian Empire tended to regard with some indifference and contempt even. And yet they produce the Prophet, and yet they generate the spiritual message that is Islam. So the Iranians of this period were faced with something of a challenge. What is the attitude going to be to the traditions of the Arab conquest and how Islam came? On the one hand, it looks like a massive defeat for the Persians. They lose the battles, the Arabs come in and conquer the land. On the other hand, they bring the religion, they bring the enlightenment to which most Persians of this period subscribe, because we're talking about a period when more and more Persians are converting to Islam. And so there is always this tension, if you like, this dichotomy between, do we regard the Arab conquest as a good thing and the Arabs as, and the Arab heritage as something admirable, or could we be tempted to say that while the spiritual benefits were enormous and they brought the true religion, actually the Arab conquest was something of a disaster? And Sarah does it by reading the primary sources. This isn't a book that's based on other modern works or modern political discussions or anything. It's a work that's firmly based in the above all in the Arabic sources, because most of academic writing was done in Arabic up till about the year 1000, even in the heart of Iran, and also Persian sources as well.
In her book, Sarah develops the theme of the conversion of Arabic Islam, as it was then known. What is your take on that?
It's a slow process, but it starts right from the first years after the Arabic conquest. We start to get Persian, particularly we hear about elite Persians becoming converted to Islam and joining, as it were, the new ruling class. One of the really remarkable things about the Arab conquests of Iran and elsewhere was the fact that they resulted in a permanent cultural and religious change that has lasted right down to the present day. Unlike the Mongol conquests of Iran in the 13th century, which were devastating and sound very ruthless, but the cultural effects and the religious effects of them were very marginal to the story of Iranian history. So people become Muslims for all sorts of reasons. Iranians convert to Islam for all sorts of reasons. There is very little evidence of forceful conversion or conversion by force, of arms. The idea of Islam being spread by the sword is not really relevant here. People convert because they're impressed by the spiritual message, but people convert because the Muslim community is very welcoming, by and large, to new converts. You don't have to be part of a particular group in order to be accepted, because Islam, of course, has a message for the whole of mankind. And so people convert to the new religion by in groups, in families, and as individuals. And that often means moving as well. It often means moving from the village, where the traditional Zoroastrian customs are still maintained and so on, to a new town or a developing town where there is a Muslim community and so on.
Sarah Bowen Savant shared her insights into why she wrote the book and her passion for the subject. She discusses the early religious identity of Iranians in this early period, as well as the gradual process of conversions that many people went through. She makes a clear historical difference between military conquests and this process of conversion.
Dr. Savant, thank you for joining us on the Chronicles. I found your book an absolutely fascinating read. So tell our viewers, what was the motivation behind writing it? What were you trying to achieve?
I was trying to understand how it is that Iranians came to identify themselves as Muslims in the period. The previous scholarship had said this was a problem we couldn't address. So a major scholar from Columbia University wrote a book in which he tried to quantitatively analyze the rate of conversion to Islam. And, you know, he took a lot of grief. He persuaded most people in the field. But in the end, the conclusion has always been since then, and this was 1979, that we really can't know, you know, how it is that Iranians began to identify themselves as Muslims. And this is, of course, a major problem. This isn't just about Iran. Iran's the first major territory to convert to Islam, but we have some of the similar issues that we have to consider when we think of Central Asia, when we think of South Asia, Southeast Asia. So to me, dealing with this unanswerable question was a real challenge. And I didn't buy that we couldn't answer it. I mean, I really thought that the issue of how people address the circumstances of their change provides something of an answer. I mean, it may not be a conversion in terms of rates and numbers answer, but it gives us a sense of adaptation. And I was reading a lot about the nationalism literature, the modern nationalism literature, and I'd read a lot of historiography on South Asia and also on East Asia. And it seemed to me that you could look at the period of the 9th to the 11th centuries, which is the period of classical Arabic literature. Persian comes in sort of at the end of the 10th century and onwards. So we can look at our primary sources and we could begin to address this question.
Can we deal a little bit with the conversion? Because obviously we're talking at the time of the Prophet of an Arab religion. Was this done through military means, through conquest? Was it a belief system? What did your sources reveal about that?
Well, I mean, the conquests were remarkable as an historical phenomenon, right? So by the mid-7th century, we have, the Sasanian Empire falls entirely, stretching across a vast expanse of territory and running back to the 3rd century. Half of the Byzantine territories comes to fall as well. But this is military conquest. You know, this isn't conversion. And for a long time among European scholars, they were equated and put together. And my contention, essentially, is that while there were, of course, some violence in the conquest, a lot of people surrendered voluntarily, under different terms that favored elites, for example. The processes of conversion were much more gradual, lasted over periods of centuries. And then, in fact, I don't think you can really see Persians being taken into account in the dominant sort of Arabic narrative sources that we have for the period until the mid-9th century and afterwards. So I would date sort of the period in which you see Iranians making meaning out of the tradition from the mid-9th century onwards. So, and again, this is elites. This isn't people in the countryside. This isn't people who aren't writing. This isn't people, there's probably a gender dimension. I mean, there's a whole lot of people who come much later, into the tradition. So we have to think of a whole series of cultural, social processes, that unfold underneath, government that was run by Muslims and, institutions that were probably in the hands of Muslims. So there was a good case being made for Islam, right? That was certainly the case, certainly what was happening. But the issue of, conversion by the sword, I think, is really doesn't do any justice to the issue.
Sarah develops her argument further by describing and evaluating the historical sources of Islamic history. In chapter 1, titled Prior Connections to Islam, Sarah states, "The greatest challenge to studying how Muslims took account of such history lies in the nature of the surviving sources, nearly all of which post-date the rise of Islam. This does not allow for a stable point of comparison, that is, a pure pre-Islamic national or religious historiography against which to measure interpretations by Muslims."